Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, is Mike Tagliare. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliare NFL Tags. How are you on this fine Monday afternoon?
I'm good. I realized that before the podcast started, I feel like I'm an airplane pilot with all the switches I'm doing, like in terms of to get ready for the podcast, like shut off Spotify, close this web, close that, close my like 20 billion spreadsheets that I have open, plug in my headphones and go through all these motions. I felt like an airplane pilot. I just wanted to share that.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Have you gotten, have you been able to respond to the, what I can only estimate is about 8,000 tweets about last night's Ronald Jones being your ex-girlfriend or whatever, however
okay,
you...
Okay. I didn't land the plane as well as I would hoped, but I think everybody got the point. And they said they were rolling on the floor laughing. So I'll take it.
Look, I think you landed it in the same way that like they landed it in the movie Airplane with like the wheels crashing and everything, but everybody got off the plane alive and it's fine. So I appreciated it, but whatever. It's Monday. We've got waiver wire. We've got a big week here. And to break it all down with us is Andrew Kirchhoff. You can find him and his great fantasy football content on his YouTube channel. Just search for his name on YouTube and join his channel. 35,000 other subscribers. He's great. I've heard a lot of great things about him. I'm really excited for the first time to be able to talk to him. Andrew, thank you for joining us today. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on today's show. When you guys reached out to me, I was in awe because, again, you guys are the illustrious fantasy pros. So again, I'm an honor to be here. I appreciate you guys having me on the show today.
See, this we should have Andrew on all the time. Tags, I love it. Nobody else has called us illustrious, okay? That's not a comment that
don't
I get.
Don't compliment Dan. He lets it all go to his head.
I do. It's true. And my head, if you're watching on YouTube, is already gargantuan. So it really getting any bigger is probably just a health concern at this point. But regardless, okay, it's our waiver wire show, so you know what we're going to do. But again, as I try to preach, if you are doing it right, you've got to use our waiver wire assistant. It's over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Identify the top players to add in your league. View the percentage of experts who would add that player to your roster. Get a detailed analysis of the impact on your team. Again, that's at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. It gives you a ton of great tools over there, but the waiver wire assistant will really help you out. All right, usual game plan. We are going to go with the notable waiver wire pickups by position. We will start with running back, then we'll go to wide receiver, then QB, then tight end. Then we will talk about our top five overall waiver wire pickups. We'll talk about our top quarterback and DST streamers for week 13. Man. And then we're going to play a game of drop or keep, where I will give you 10 guys who are on the fringe of being rosterable at this point, and we'll go drop, or keep. Before we get into it, just a couple of minor news items. This is Monday afternoon, so I'm sure you guys know more about a lot of these things than we do right now. The 49ers are going to be playing their home games in weeks 13 and weeks 14 in Arizona. So they have a home stadium, but it's not where their actual home stadium is. But they have found the solution to this problem. Finally, Daniel Jones is getting an MRI on his hamstring. They don't think it's that serious. He could miss a game, but you will probably know more about this later. Or if history repeats itself, we will find out about it during the recording of the show. And I will cut off Andrew as he is giving advice and say, stop, stop, stop. I've got to talk about Daniel Jones. All right. Well, not, you know, excluding that, let's just get into the waiver wire show here. So let's start position by position. As I said, Andrew, let us start with the running back position. So who is your favorite waiver wire pickup of week 13 at the running back position?
All right. So I think that there's a couple trains of thought that kind of my mind keeps going to. So first and foremost, of course, the injury to Josh Jacobs makes me think that Devontae Booker might be a name that a lot of people want to go after. But the main thing that kind of pops out to me is, yes, we're going into week 13. For many teams, you've either already clinched a playoff spot, you may be the first seed, maybe you're in the middle of the pack, but there's still a lot of teams that need a victory going into week 13. And perhaps a guy like Devontae Booker, who's in a pretty favorable matchup this upcoming week against the New York Jets, can plug in and be a pretty good play if, in fact, we get Josh Jacobs potentially to miss this upcoming week. But of course, it's all contingent on that. And obviously, there is news coming out, but nothing too convincing at this point to give us the right away to go ahead and pick him up as the number one. But as of right now, that is my leading thought, Devontae Booker as the number one running back.
So this is interesting. There are a couple of things here. One, what we know about Josh Jacobs as we record the show on Monday afternoon is that it is an ankle sprain, which I think most people kind of suggested. You hear Dr. David Chow on our podcast on Fridays. Again, I talk about profootballdoc.com. If you went on that, if you are subscribed to that channel, I went on that and immediately looked. And the immediate thing is this is really just an ankle sprain. We don't know how severe, but it is not nearly as bad as it looked because it looked pretty bad. So it's an ankle sprain. But we don't know what that means necessarily, right? If it's a high, I mean, Christian McCaffrey missed weeks with a high ankle sprain. He could play this week against the Jets. Now, you mentioned it's a good matchup. The Jets run defense, as Tags and I don't know, I think we're obligated to talk about it once every show, is that the Jets defense is abysmal, but the run defense actually not that bad, ninth in rushing DVOA. With that said, as we record, Devontae Booker is also my number one pickup. It's a 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D situation actually for me at running back. But he is also, because of the fact that I do think he has the highest potential to be a starter if Josh Jacobs misses time. I will now turn it over to the illustrious Mike Tagliere because I have a feeling he's going to disagree with us. So Tags, is Booker your number one waiver wire running back pickup? And if not, who is it?
He's not, just because we don't have the news. And I know Dan is like the king of this, where if there's like a rumor about someone potentially having an injury, Dan's like, oh, he's my number one.
You know what? Duke Johnson may have sunk my team for 2 weeks, but man.
Giovanni Bernard, you did the same thing.
But I got they may not have actually helped my fantasy team because they didn't perform well. But the moment that I actually got them was like great. Those 10 minutes before they actually had to get on the field were really great. But yes, that is what I do, Tags. I take the guy who I think if there is an injury, this is the guy I'm going to take. And when we don't know it, when we record on Monday, that's always the guy who's going to pop up on my list.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the thing is, if I knew that Jacobs were to miss this week, I'd say, yeah, I'll put him up. He'd be probably my, I don't even know if I'd put him as number one. I might put him as number two running back because the Jets matchup is tougher than people seem to admit. If you take weighted opportunity and you look at it like points per opportunity that running backs score against them, they're actually the 11th toughest matchup for running backs. But again, you can't pass up a running back that's going to get 15 plus touches. And that's why I have my number one running back pickup week as, hold on a second. This is disgusting, and it's like 2020 in a nutshell. It says, pick up Frank Gore. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys, I get it. Frank Gore is like the most unsexy thing ever. I told people, I was like, why would you even waste a draft pick on him? I get it. But in his first game without Perine, he racked up 21 touches against the Dolphins. He had 11.6 PPR points, a top 24 finish. I mean, think of him like David Montgomery. Are we ever excited to start David Montgomery? No, but we look at a running back that's going to see 15, 18 touches per game. He's safe, and especially in a league where more and more COVID cases are popping up around the league. I mean, we were starting Brian friggin' Hill as a top 24 running back last week. What the hell is wrong with us? So it just goes to show the lack of depth we have at running back position, where running backs are guaranteed those 15 touches. So even though Frank Gore is not sexy, I'm not saying he's going to win you your fantasy league, but he's going to prevent your opponent or somebody else. You grab him, you put him on your roster. And if you have someone like, let's say, you know, Alvin Kamara, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, something, one of these guys pops up with COVID, you know, week 14 or 15, and you're stuck in the playoffs and you don't have anybody on your bench outside of handcuffs. You need someone like Frank Gore to plug in your lineup. That's why he's my number one pickup.
Andrew, give me 15,000 words on Frank Gore, if you please. Go ahead.
I'm actually surprised that Tags suggested Frank Gore, because when I think of Frank Gore, maybe it's just synonymous with the Adam Gase offense, but I always think to myself, do I really want to start a Jets piece on my offense? It's, I mean, at this point in the fantasy season, we don't want to have to, but many of us are going to be forced to. And I 100% respect the idea that if, in fact, the COVID case is to pop up, then, yeah, I mean, we're going to have to at least step up and put Frank Gore in, who in the last couple of weeks, yeah, he's been pretty productive. The fact that he caught three passes yesterday, I mean, that was more than Alvin Kamara. So,
yeah,
again, that's pretty crazy.
He got pretty much all the running back touches yesterday. And, of course, they go up against Las Vegas, which is, I believe, last in rushing DVOA. So it's certainly a matchup that you can try to exploit. But it's Frank Gore. It's sort of, so here's what I said. Let me put it like this. Okay. I assume you have not done your week 13 weekly rankings yet. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. Ballpark it for me. Where do you think Frank Gore is going to rank in this matchup? There are no question marks. We know P. Ryan is out. We know what we're going to see. We know the matchup. Where do you think he'd rank, generally speaking? Happy
against the Raiders, I will have him probably right around the RB 24 to 28 range.
Yep. I was thinking right there. Now, imagine that Josh Jacobs is out. Okay. Where do you rank Devontae Booker for week 13 against the Jets?
Maybe slightly higher, maybe.
Yeah.
Not much, though.
See, that's the difference.
Really?
That's right. Okay. There it is. Andrew, go ahead. Because that's how it strikes me as well. And again, Tags, this is also something which we talk about. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes I'm right. But I, you know, when I do my rankings, the matchup itself, while it certainly factors in, it certainly does. It factors in less, I think, than probably most people. That's just the way I rank. That's the way I project the matchup. Matters, but the Jets also allow a ton of fantasy points to opposing running backs, as decent as they are against the run. Now, a lot of that is the touchdowns, I get, but the Raiders, you know, they have a strong running game. Josh Jacobs is great, but Booker has looked good when he's been in there. So for me, I will take a starting Devontae Booker even against the Jets than I would Frank Gore. Let me go to Andrew first, because I heard, wow, really, or something like that. So are you in agreement with me there, Andrew, given those two?
I was a bit surprised that Tag said that he'd potentially play Frank Gore over Booker if, in fact, Jacobs was out, mainly because I feel like the Raiders running backs have a higher ceiling. I mean, Frank Gore, I don't know, maybe one of you guys can pull up a stat on me. How many touchdowns has he scored this year on the ground?
One.
Exactly. So he doesn't really have that much potential upside in comparison. Also, the fact that Jalen Richard last week was out with the chest injury and could potentially miss even more time, that leaves even the third down work available for a guy like Devontae Booker. And I think, of course, as we all know, I know Dan's a Jets fan. The game script
for
them...
Oh, you do? You do listen. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I know for a fact that, I mean, going against Las Vegas, they just got, you know, their teeth kicked in last week. They're going to want to come out. They're going to want to put some points on the board. And I don't think that the Jets game script specifically this week is obviously going to be in their favor. Obviously, even with this past week, them losing 20-3, Gore still touched the ball 21 times. I'm just thinking overall in terms of potential upside with an empty backfield and Devontae Booker is the only guy there. I think he's got some potential opportunity to get some receptions and some goal line work there.
That is part of the point, is that I'm just assuming that Richard is going to be out this week. Maybe not, because he was out, you know, he's missed some time here. So if he is out, I mean, it was just Booker and it's just Jacobs, and they'll add in a name there, but you know, Booker will lead the way, and I'll take that over Frank Gore. Now, I will say, Tags, if we are going in to your waiver period and we do not have firm word on Josh Jacobs that he's going to be out, let's say it's like, oh, you know, it's an ankle sprain, it's a low ankle sprain, we'll see about his status, I'm okay with Gore. I said I had 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. Gore is in that mix, and I'm basically like, I'll pick up any of them. I think Gore is the safer start. Right now, Gore is the safer guy to pick up at this point, because he is going to be a guy who you can throw out there. And again, he has one touchdown on the season, but that was last week, not this past game. And that's, you know, there was no P. Ryan, and there's no P. Ryan in this game. So it is something where I think that it's a safer sort of play if you need a body for this week. So I do get that. But I am surprised, Tax, because I do feel like I would have a strong preference for Booker over Gore if he got the
start. You've just been burned by the Jets too many times. Not
that,
that
might
I
be true. It's almost like Tags, there, this girl that cheated on me.
Oh, stop,
that
I can't. Stop.
No, stop. Okay, I'm done. All right, that's fine. Okay, so for me, Booker is my number one. Gore is, look, I will stress this as much as possible. You know, we do a waiver wire article. We put up there, we put up recommended fab bids. You can see my rankings, Tags' rankings, Yates' rankings, and we come to a consensus. Booker is my one, but Gore is my four, but legitimately 1, 2, 3, and 4 all the same. And maybe it is just that I've been burned by the Jets too many times. Let me ask you, Andrew, again, at this stage of the game, the fab bid recommendations are pretty irrelevant in my mind because, you know, it's all dependent on how much you have left, how much your opponents have left, who you need to outbid to get that guy. But generally speaking, where would Booker kind of be in your fab bid if we don't know the details of Jacob's injury at this point?
Right. I think it 100% depends on whether or not Jacobs is on your roster. I think as myself in one of my main leagues, I look at Jacobs and I think to myself, if I don't end up getting Booker and he's going to potentially be out for 3 weeks, as we've seen other players with high ankle sprains miss significant amount of time, I look at his upcoming schedule. And even though I don't like the Indianapolis matchup in the first week of the fantasy playoffs, I do like the Los Angeles Chargers matchup, right? So obviously, I'm assuming that there's a potential 3 week absence of Josh Jacobs. Obviously, we don't know that confirmed. But at this point, if I'm a Josh Jacobs owner, I want to at least, you know, try to outbid everyone else, try to grab this running back. And at this point, let's say, for example, I've got 30 fab left. I'm willing to spend perhaps more than half of it for him.
Yeah. How about you, Tags, with Gore? I mean, let's say, Tags, you're in the hunt. You need the win for your playoffs. Your running back situation is not great. What are you doing for Gore?
Well, I mean, if you need a win to get in, you kind of spend it all. I mean, yep. I think you can say the same thing about Booker. This is not the time of the year where you think about fab dollars you have remaining. You don't really care. It's just about filling voids that you have in your lineup, because injuries at this point, you're probably screwed anyway, just because like a lot of people are starting to stash those high-end handcuffs that are, so you're not going to be able to find someone on the waiver wire that's going to immediately, you know, just pump into your lineup and start giving you top 12 numbers. So, yeah, this is the time of the year where if you have a need, you clearly just go and get them.
All right, Andrew, other than Devontae Booker, other than Frank Gore, is there any other running back who you're looking to pick up this week?
Yeah, there's a couple names, and I kind of wanted to tag off of what Tags just said. I don't know if anybody's ever used it that way, but talking about handcuffs, right? Typically, for myself, if I've already clinched a playoff spot, this is the week where I'm looking to grab my blue chip running backs potential handcuff. So I've looked around. I see that Latavius Murray in Yahoo is still owned in only 60% of leagues. Jamal Williams, only 60% of leagues. I'm sure Alexander Mattison, Carlos Hyde, players like that are still out there. So I want to kind of throw that out there as well. If you're comfortable enough at the running back position, perhaps that's the next train of thought to go after your blue chip guys running back handcuff and try to just lock that down. Now, if we're just looking for a player that can help us this upcoming week, it's either between James White or Cam Akers in my eyes.
Yeah, I so let's start with the handcuff part of it.
Yeah.
Completely agree with that. Like Alexander Mattison, if he's out there, you've got to add him. You just do. Dalvin Cook leaves every game with an injury at some point, right? Like whether or not it's minor, whether he fell on the ball the wrong way, whether it's an ankle injury. And he's not even a guarantee for next. I mean, he came back in the game, but Tags, you mentioned it last night on our recap show that sometimes your ankle can swell up, you know, even if you come back into the game. So he's certainly somebody to add. But yeah, if you are set at the running back position, this is the time where you have your bench. And we've kind of been preaching this for a long time. Rather than the mediocre options, add the high-end handcuffs where if somebody goes down, like even Devontae Booker, where if somebody went down, he would be a great add. So Tags, what are your thoughts? Who's your next running back pickup that you're looking at this week?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Booker and Gore, those are the top two. Brian Hill, not knowing what's going on with Todd Gurley. Clearly, Ito Smith has carved out a role in the offense too. Could it have been a game script? And again, this goes back to, we talked about in the recap show, if you guys missed that, is that Brian Hill last year in a smash spot where everybody wanted to play him it was Devonta Freeman missed some time against the Panthers. He folded in that game. And then the next game he came out and played extremely well. So
he did, right? I wasn't misremembering that.
No, you definitely weren't. So okay. He's someone, considering Gurley's already injured, knowing that that Falcons team is basically, you know, they're dead in the water. They're not going anywhere this year. So it wouldn't shock me for them to say, you know what, Gurley, we're just going to put you on IR and set you for 3 weeks. That's possible. Alexander Mattison, that's the other guy in that conversation. Again, we talked about it on last week's show, is that these guys should not not be on waiver wires right now. These are the guys that you should have on your bench. The one that I'm struggling with, guys, that I would almost rather have someone else pick up is Cam Akers. You know, we've talked about him on the show a couple times. I said, I think 3 weeks back, I said to pick him up and just kind of sit in there and see what happens. But it's clear this is a three-way timeshare that I just don't want any part of it. I feel like I would rather see him in my opponent's lineup than see him in mine.
Tag, so I want to ask something. Have you looked at the breakdown of this game in terms of touches yet? Have you had a chance to do that from the Rams?
I have not gotten to that game yet where I go back and I watch those things.
Andrew, I don't know if you have either. I looked at it. It's unofficial, but from what I was looking at, Akers got almost all of his touches, if not every one of his touches, in the second half, and nobody else got a touch except Darrell Henderson had the first carry of the second half, and then that was it. It was all Akers after that. I think that's what I saw when I was looking at sort of the breakdown. If I'm wrong on that, I apologize, but I'm almost positive that neither of the other running backs got a touch tags in the second half. Let's assume that I'm not insane and that that's correct, that Henderson got the first carry of the second half, gained 2 yards or whatever, and then it was all Akers after that. Does that mean anything to you? I mean, can we read into the fact that, like, I get your hesitation on Akers. I really, really do. But that type of thing, I mean, we've been talking about Jordan Wilkins for like 4 straight weeks over here. Maybe they were like, wow, this offense looks better with Cam Akers. I mean, is there anything to that potentially? Or you're just like, no, this is going to be a three-way timeshare. That's all there is to it. I don't really care how one game unfolds.
No, I really don't. It's going back to Kyle Shanahan and like the way that he runs his offense, because we've heard Sean McVay legitimately out loud in the press say that he wants to model his offense after Kyle Shanahan's. So it's clear that, you know, he just doesn't want one running back to lead the room. And I just looked it up. Cam Akers did have one carry in the first half, in the first quarter, and then everything he had was after that. Now, the game was, I don't want to say out of reach, but they were falling behind in that game. It seems like Darrell Henderson is the guy that they go to when they want to kill clock. Akers is more of like the, I don't know, I don't want to say three down option, because Malcolm Brown kind of feels that. It's just gross, man. I mean, unless you can predict this team to have like 30, 35 touches per game, I don't think that we can trust Cam Akers in our line. I just feel like it's going to change every single week.
So, Andrew, you're a little more optimistic on Akers. And let's not forget that we had Scott Engel on a couple of weeks ago, which, I mean, if you could probably go back and rewind exactly what Scott said, this is kind of what he thought could happen. And we don't know whether or not it's going to continue going forward, but that Akers would sort of potentially separate himself from the rest of the crowd, and he'd be worth rostering. So, I mean, Andrew, you recommended him as a pickup. I agree with you. You're a little more optimistic on his outlook.
Well, mainly because I'm a Rams fan, but I won't let that cloud me at this current juncture. So this is what I'm thinking at this moment. Obviously, their upcoming schedule, they get Arizona this upcoming week, but I'm obviously not anticipating him to have the biggest workload this week, but I'm picking him up for the potential upside of the future of the week 15 matchup against the Jets and the Seahawks in week 16. I mean, the New England Patriots in 14 are a decent matchup. But when I look at what he did yesterday, it seems to me that, yeah, it's a little bit of a running back by committee situation, and they're running the hot hand. And if perhaps Cam Akers can continue with his streak and continues with the hot hand, then he'll get more opportunities. Now, majority of his production yesterday was off of one run. He had 84 total yards, but there was a 61-yard run that obviously he couldn't outrun the defense, but the offense rewarded him with the goal line touchdown on that specific drive. So obviously prior to that, 8 other carries and only having, what, 23 yards. It's not a great outing. Obviously saved his day, but the only reason I'm really suggesting him is the potential of, if in fact somebody goes down in this backfield, then perhaps he can continue with the hot hand and be the RB1 of this team.
I think, like Tag said, I'm a little torn on this because I'm not positive that even one injury would mean that he would be the RB1, right? Like, right. It might take two. At the same time, I'm intrigued enough by how this game went in the second half that I do want to add him. And really, I think these guys all come down to your need. I think Alexander Mattison should be rostered regardless. He needs to be a pickup. I think Devontae Booker probably should be rostered regardless of Josh Jacobs' injury, because I do think that he kind of, you know, comes into that high-end handcuff. I think Frank Gore is admittedly a guy that you can start this week coming in, given the matchup and given how he's produced. And I think Cam Akers has the potential. I want to add one more name. And again, I mentioned him earlier, Tags, a guy that we have discussed several times. I have never wanted to pick him up ever. I have constantly been like, no, you know, it could be Jonathan Taylor, you know, Nyheim Hines. But given the fact that Taylor has, I believe, tested positive, right?
Yep.
He's not on the COVID list because it was a close contact. He actually tested positive, right?
But yeah, he is. But I hate the fact that they're not releasing the details if players are asymptomatic, which means that we have zero idea if it's the 5-day isolation or if it's like the 10-day or whatever.
You know, Tags, I do want to – all right. So I want to actually talk about this for a second because I think as the cases rise – and as more players test positive, I think it's important for us to know how to analyze it and for fantasy managers to know how to analyze it. My understanding, Tags, because of the fact that you get false positives a lot, right? I don't think if you test positive, I could be wrong on this, but if you test positive on day X, I don't think it's really possible, even if you're asymptomatic, for you to have the two negative tests within the 5-day period after that. I think that is for the, we've seen the false positives come out. And I think those are really to guard against, I could be wrong on this, but I thought those are really to guard against the false positives where you can be like, okay, well, it was obviously a false positive because you had the two negative, whatever it is, PCR tests after that. I think if you actually test positive, I feel like it's almost a guarantee for 10 days. I may be incorrect on this, but that's always kind of been my understanding that the 5-day asymptomatic rule, Tags, was much more to guard against the false positive and give people an out.
That's fair.
So I'm not a doctor. I only play one on this podcast. So I don't jump into
that. Dr. Dan Harris.
But so that may be incorrect. But Tags, we do know that this came out Saturday, by the way, right? The testing positive for Taylor. Mm-hmm. So he's got a shot, but I mean, given that we don't know right now, I mean, it's kind of the same as we're looking at Josh Jacobs, given the fact that they play Houston. I mean, Wilkins still had 57 total yards in this game. That doesn't kill you. And Nyheim Hines kind of led the way. So you can see them being a more kind of standard rushing attack if they have to go against Houston in this game. Mm-hmm. So, Wilkins to me is a guy who I'm looking at the wire too. What about you?
Yeah, if we hear that Jonathan Taylor is going to miss this game, that's the difficult part about this area of the week that we're in, because it involves some players that we really don't know about. Because the Texans, I mean, that's the matchup you want, especially for a running back like Jordan Wilkins, who should receive, I would say, more of the first and second down work than Nyheim Hines. Now, Hines brings a three down element that nobody else does, but he doesn't offer a whole lot of upside as the early down back. But the Texans have allowed over 1,500 yards on the ground to running backs, and that's because they've faced 27.1 carries per game. That's carries. Yep. A lot of teams have not faced that many touches by running backs per game, let alone carries. So I do like Wilkins. If we find out that Jonathan Taylor is going to miss this game, I'd say Wilkins should be ranked as definitely a top 30 back. I don't know how high we'd put him because, again, you really just can never fully trust a Colts running back under Frank Reich. And that's another thing, though, that we have to take into consideration. They did not call up a running back because it was just on such short notice when Jonathan Taylor was diagnosed with COVID that we don't know if they're going to call up another running back. So if they're without Taylor, they may call up a running back and then have three in the rotation. And that would bring down my excitement a little bit for Wilkins, which is why, again, you can never fully trust a Colts running back.
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely. At the same time, if Taylor is out, I don't know who they'd call up necessarily, but I still would think that Wilkins and Hines would get so much work. And given the matchup, I'd be, again, 57 total yards, not terrible in this game from Wilkins, in a game that they were behind for almost the majority of the game. It's not something that kills you. Andrew, what do you think about Wilkins right now, given the uncertainty with Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to miss this upcoming week, like Tags was mentioning, I think the Houston Texans give up the most rushing yards to opposing running backs on a weekly basis on average. So, and the fact that they play against Houston two out of the next 3 weeks, if Taylor's going to miss even more time, then it's a fantastic matchup. And definitely, I'm not assuming that Nyheim Hines can carry the ball more than, 15 times on the ground. So they're definitely going to have to split it between the two.
And the matchup in between the two Houston matchups, the Raiders. So it is something where you're like, oh boy, this is basically as good as it gets. It's why we wanted to hold on to Taylor throughout. Now, again, I don't know. Please don't take what I said about the testing protocols to be, the law. I certainly don't know that. That's just kind of been my understanding. It seems unlikely that Taylor would be able to play this upcoming week. So when you have a situation like that, where you have a guy who, I'm going to feel pretty confident starting if it works out. Tags, you mentioned earlier. That's kind of my philosophy. When I pick up running backs, I would rather go for the guy, even if it requires sort of news that I don't know yet. I'd rather go for that guy. All right. How about we move to wide receivers right now? Let's go to you, Andrew. Who is your number one wide receiver pickup of the week?
All right. So I went and I looked through and I sifted through these wide receivers, and I was surprised to see, but not really considering he's been injured for the last couple weeks, Deebo Samuel's only owned in 55% of Yahoo formats. And that's a pretty shocking thing considering the performance he had last night. What was it? 11 receptions for 133 yards. My goodness, was that an incredible performance from him. As a Rams fan, I am beyond upset at the arm tackling that they tried to do against Deebo Samuel, but he imposes will on the defense, and that would probably be the guy that if he's not yet already picked up, he needs to be.
Yeah, he's rostered in, what did you say, 55%?
55%.
Yeah, if he's available in your league, you have to pick him up for sure. I do wonder what the return of Brandon Ayuk is going to do, you know, when he's there, because we haven't seen really what they're like all together necessarily. But without question, he'd be certainly the top pickup tags. How about you? Who are you looking at this week other than Samuel?
It would be the guy that's about to play tonight and could have his breakout performance that leads everybody to the waiver wire. And that's Jalen Reagor. I mean, I know Wentz has played like crap, but six targets in every game since his return. I actually think this because we're obviously recording this before the game takes place, but I think this could be Jalen Reagor's breakout performance. I don't know if they're actually going to play Jalen Hurts or if that's just all coach speak. I think it's possible that it's just like basically people taking it out of context and that they were giving him some reps with the ones, and that Carson Wentz is really going to play like 95% of the snaps. But Reagor in this matchup against Seattle, it's a chance for him to like really shine on national TV. And then there's a national TV bias where someone shines on the national stage and then everybody runs to the waiver wire to pick him up. So this is probably going to be a moot point by the time that you're listening to this podcast, because Reagor, everybody will know who he is after this game. And if they don't, then obviously he's not as good of a pickup. But against the Packers, that's a game where they should potentially fall behind. Again, those targets are there. He's a rookie wide receiver. He was still getting acclimated to the offense. We've seen it with a lot of guys, right? Like Denzel Mims is starting to come on a little bit as of late. And you think about Justin Jefferson had a little bit of a slow start. T. Higgins, a little bit slow start. But they picked up after they played like three or four games in the league. We're around that point with Jalen Reagor, basically once he returned from that injury. So I think he should be coming into his own. I'm surprised that he's not higher owned, but it makes some sense considering that Carson Wentz has played so poorly.
Yeah, we've talked about him for 3 weeks now, tags, and people obviously don't trust our advice because he's only 25% rostered, which is crazy. I agree. I would pick him up. I mean, again, the context of what we are saying right now is going to be entirely different after tonight's game, regardless, because he might have a huge game. And then you'll be like, of course, Reagor was an obvious pickup. Who knows? How do you feel right now, Andrew, as we talk here before we see tonight's game about Jalen Reagor as a potential pickup?
Yeah, I think he already should have been picked up last week, mainly as a contingency plan for the Tuesday night game. So if you were going to play a Deontay Johnson, a Claypool, a Juju Smith-Schuster, I suggested to people go pick up Reagor, that if in fact Monday information was to come out, then you can start him and actually have a wide receiver to play for you. I think obviously the 18 targets in the last three games he's played is pretty good, considering only I think Travis Fulgham has out targeted him by one target. But Travis Fulgham's performances in the last two games, I think he's only had one reception in each of those contests. So it's looking like Jalen Reagor is on his way to a potential breakout going forward.
Yeah, I wrote an article, and we're going to do this, by the way, every week to the extent there are these COVID concerns, is how you should handle these types of games in terms of who you can pick up to guard against. And I was a little outraged at the fact that Reagor was so widely available. And it's not one particular form. I mean, Yahoo and ESPN are roughly 75%. CBS is pushing 70%. Like, this is a guy who needs to be rostered. Like, you know, just look at the targets, look at the potential that he could bring, look at his talent. He's certainly someone to pick up. All right, other than the two guys we've discussed, Andrew, who else are you looking at a wide receiver?
I think the next, I mean, I guess we'll just continue the trend of rookies. I think Michael Pittman Jr. should continue to be rostered. I know he didn't have a great performance this past week, but the target count of getting to 9 is pretty significant. As of the last 4 performances, 7, 8, 3, and 9. Those are his target counts. Obviously, in the game in which he had 3 targets, he accompanied with a touchdown, saving his week. But I still think that with the upcoming matchups of Houston, Las Vegas, and in Houston once again, this is someone that I want to keep and or go for if he's available on your waivers.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly, I'm going to be interested to see. This is actually a guy who I think you might want to keep your eye on in terms of whether or not managers who are rostering him now drop him, because this is the type of guy that I think fantasy managers get a little annoyed at. They like his talent. They get excited. They see the 3 targets that he got 2 weeks ago, and he does really well with them, and they're sort of like, oh, I don't know. And now, you know, he only has 2 catches on his 9 targets. They might get a little frustrated. So this is a guy to, in my opinion, certainly keep rostered. If you have him, if he's out there, I have no hesitation, given the fact that, again, the schedule is perfect for pretty much everything going forward. Tags, we talked about Pittman last night. So who's somebody else, if anybody, that you're looking at who's widely available, who you want to add this
There's week? Really not anybody that is a must add. You could look at guys like, again, this is going back to the Jets, which I totally... Totally. Like, I don't know how much more I can state this. I totally agree with Andrew in the fact that you never, ever want to roster Jets players. I get that. I really do. But we're at dire, like, desperate times call for desperate measures, I guess. And this is one of the worst waiver wires of the season, which is why Breshad Perriman and Denzel Mims get consideration.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking this up last night, and Breshad Perriman, over the last 3 years of wide receivers who have seen 100 or more targets in that time, he ranks fifth in yards per target. Unfortunately, his targets have been very sporadic. And I also took a look at this today, is that Sam Darnold is throwing the ball deep on just, I think it's 9.7% of his pass attempts, while Joe Flacco threw the ball deep on 19.4% of his pass attempts. So we're talking like twice the amount of deep balls from Joe Flacco than there is with Sam Darnold. So maybe you pivot to Denzel Mims as the preferred pickup, who has now, again, we talked about this in the show last night, he's totaled at least 62 yards in three straight games. Mm-hmm. A rookie wide receiver kind of coming into his own, playing in an offense, developing some sort of chemistry with Sam Darnold. They do have a good matchup against Las Vegas this week. They play against Seattle the following week. So if there's any time that you could trust, you know, the perimeter wide receivers of the Jets, I think it's now. And knowing that Jamison Crowder is being, I don't want to say phased out of the offense, but he has not received targets, I think Denzel Mims is probably someone I would put in the conversation as one of the better pickups this week at wide receiver, which really says a lot about the waiver wire this week.
All right, two things. One, as expected, there was some minor news that broke while we were recording, and that is that Daniel Jones's hamstring injury is reportedly minor after his MRI, and he even has a chance to play Sunday. So that is good news for Giants pass catchers and just the Giants, generally speaking. Second, I was saving this, Tags. I was thinking, do I drop this during the Frank Gore discussion about how I've been burned by the Jets? Nah, I have very few reservations right now. And this is crazy for me to say about picking up Mims and Perriman. Mims is the slight preference for me for the exact reason that you said, Tags. But look, I get it. I get it. It's a grotesque football team. It's a terrible offense. But yeah, Tags. Mims, he has got 8 targets in 3 straight games, mm-hmm. 62, 71, and 67 yards. He looks good. He had a little bit of a minor injury at the sort of towards the end of that game. I think he's okay. Monitor that. But if not, yeah, I mean, we're throwing out Tags. We talk about it all the time. Wide receiver threes, you're basically throwing out just tons of inconsistency. You don't get that, even the Nelson Aguilars of the world, right? Like, it's the guys who are like, oh, this is great, I'll throw him out. But really, a guy like Mims, who at this point, with Joe Flacco, with Sam Darnold, who is getting consistent targets, who is putting up solid numbers, he's kind of like the Frank Gore of wide receivers a little bit. Like, he's probably not going to explode. He's not going to give you a Tyreek Hill type day, but he's going to give you basic points from a wide receiver, which as somebody who, you know, is constantly looking for anybody to throw out there a wide receiver, that's worth something. Same with Perriman. 7 targets, 4 targets, 8 targets. He's got 101 yards, 54 yards, 79 yards over his last 3 games and 3 touchdowns. I realize it's probably a little better with Joe Flacco, but still, I've got no problem, especially considering that, again, as you mentioned, Tags, the Raiders and the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Good matchups for wide receivers. So, Andrew, how do you feel about the Jets wide receivers?
Again, I have my reservations here and there. Again, the wide receiver position is pretty thin at this point in terms of the waiver wire selections. But as two guys that are potentially available in your league, I honestly don't mind either of them. In a full PPR, they can easily both get upwards of 10 points. They obviously have upside. But if Sam Darnold continues to throw interceptions, we're going to have problems with that. I think the fact that Breshad Perriman has played 98% of the offensive snaps in 3 consecutive weeks means he's literally not coming off the field. And in my opinion, maybe that gives him an extra opportunity here and there in terms of potential targets. But I can't ignore the fact that, again, Denzel Mims, 62 plus receiving yards in back to, 3 weeks in a row.
Yep.
That in itself, pretty solid production that you're not going to find in very many other places where there's so much inconsistency at the wide receiver position.
And I mean, as we saw this past week with the Raiders, there is never a guarantee as to what a game script is going to be unless you are the New York Jets, because you know that the New York Jets are going to be playing from behind. They're going to need to throw. And it's great. I, again, as somebody who sort of was like, no, Tags, please don't recommend Frank Gore. I will say Frank Gore does get the work regardless of the game script, because, you know, Adam Gase has no problem just running the ball when he's down, you know, three scores, but they are going to throw. So you're going to have Mims, you're going to have Perriman. I kind of like him this week. All right, Andrew, anybody else that you're looking at to pick up at wide receiver, or is the cupboard bare at this point?
I mean, the only other name that kind of pops out to me is Sterling Shepard. If he's available, I'm assuming he's probably been already picked up, because in the last five games, he's had 40 targets. That in itself, that's extremely valuable. With Daniel Jones, let me hear your guys' opinion on this. Do you think Daniel Jones actually gives Shepard a better opportunity against Seattle this upcoming week? Or would you rather have Colt McCoy under center and just get a steady volume of targets and yardage going in his direction? Because I think with Sterling Shepard, in the last five games since he's come back from the injured reserve, he has an 82.5% catch rate. So anything you're pretty much throwing in his direction, he's going to be able to catch. He's playing the most snaps at the wide receiver position for the Giants. Darius Slayton was pretty much invisible this past week. And of course, we all know how valuable the Seattle matchup is.
Tags, Shepard was one of our favorite pickups last week. I assume, like me, that you would prefer if he gets Daniel Jones, because he's one of the safest basic options out there. If it is McCoy this weekend for the Giants, if Shepard is available in your league, would you still want Shepard then under those circumstances?
I mean, I wanted Shepard like legitimately when he came back from injury like 4 or 5 weeks ago, whatever it was. I stated it in the primer. Basically every week, because I think people need to know. And the fact that he's not more rostered tells me that more people need to know. But he has seen at least 6 targets in over 20 games straight, outside of that one game he had to leave early against the Bears. So he's like Corey Davis has been a sturdy presence in fantasy lineups this year. Sterling Shepard is right there, I would say, with a little bit more, a safer of a floor, because there is more passing volume in that offense. I don't know if I prefer Daniel Jones to be under center or Colt McCoy, because Daniel Jones, if he's hurt, and it seemed like he was, because he even tried to come back into that game, and then it was just like, oh no, that's not happening. So
right.
I don't really know if that's a good thing for him. It's a fantastic matchup. Legitimately, you cannot ask for a better matchup. So yep. I do think that he's going to be competent enough to where I'll rank him regardless of the quarterback inside wide receiver 4 territory. I just don't know if I feel confident in either of those guys to put him like in the top 36, even though the matchup certainly calls for it.
All right, Tags, I think there are no more players on the Jets that are available. So is there anyone else that you're looking to pick up? Are you looking to pick up anybody at wide receiver other than the guys we've talked about?
I mean, no, the other two that I had down on the list that are just gross that you don't want to pick up are Henry Ruggs and T.Y. Hilton. Ruggs against the Jets this week, the secondary is just disgusting. And if Josh Jacobs were to miss the game, I do think that they're going to throw the ball a bit more. And the matchup against the Jets is one of the best in the NFL. I mean, they've allowed 291 yards per game through the air to quarterbacks. So Ruggs did tie a career high yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, with 5 targets. Yeah. If you're looking for a Hail Mary, Henry Ruggs, T.Y. Hilton is a guy against Houston that you could probably pick up. But, I mean, we know who T.Y. Hilton is at this point. He's a very low upside wide receiver. You're hoping to walk away with like 5 catches for 50 yards. It's reasonable against the Texans, I guess, but not exciting.
Yeah, Yates probably will be the highest ranker of T.Y. Hilton this week based on our conversations, which was pretty funny. So Hilton is, you know, whatever, unexciting. Let me throw one other name at you guys. Now, I know the matchup isn't good, but what about Gabriel Davis? I mean, he played all the snaps. John Brown is on IR, so he's out a minimum of 2 more games. 4 targets, 3 catches, 79 yards and the touchdown. I realize that the touchdown was from Cole Beasley. It's not a great schedule coming up. San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Denver, whatever. But, I mean, if Davis is going to play all the snaps, and we've seen what that receiver can do in that offense. You know, Andrew, any interest in Gabriel Davis, or should I just stop talking?
Yeah, I'm really hesitant on Gabriel Davis. Even in games in which already this season John Brown's missed, he's had pretty dud performances that just makes me think that, yes, there's a potential of upside if, in fact, Josh Allen is going to be in a higher scoring matchup. But looking at the upcoming schedule, I'm not too convinced about it. So Gabriel Davis pretty much scares me rather than gets me excited about his potential.
Andrew, you blew a golden opportunity there. Dan said you should have just been like, yes, Dan, you should just stop talking.
Oh, man. I can't do that on my first time.
First of all, you can. Second of all, I would not have listened. I just like to throw that out there just sort of as a test. And as somebody who is undoubtedly going to lose one of my leagues tonight, unless Carson Wentz has an historic performance, because my opponent started Gabriel Davis this week, good. Leave him on the waiver wire, everyone. Oh, wow. Okay, let's talk about quarterbacks this week. Anybody out there, Andrew, who you are looking to pick up if you're in need of a quarterback?
Yeah, I think it depends on whether or not Tua is going to come back with this week. If he doesn't, I'll go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. If he does, it's Kirk Cousins. So a little 1-2 there.
Yeah, I think both are great options, considering especially are we expecting Tua back at this point, Tags? I mean, do we, or is it really just completely up in the air?
I don't think so. They're saying that he's still the starter when he's healthy, but I mean, they clearly trust Ryan Fitzpatrick right now. There's really no reason to rush him back, especially in a matchup against Cincinnati. So
They're in the playoffs right now, I believe, right? They'd make the playoffs if the season ended right now. So you've got to go with your best option. And that clearly seems to be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes, who got him there? It's Ryan. I wish the Bears would have traded for Ryan Fitzpatrick at the trade deadline, because then it would have given me a reason to like root for them again, because right now I'm just like this guy rooting for a high draft pick. That's what I'm doing. Fitzpatrick, I love the fact that he got another chance to be under center, and I think that he's going to relish the opportunity as he has it, because he knows just how short it can be. So I do have him as my top quarterback pickup this week against Cincinnati.
Yeah, I agree. If Cousins is available, for sure. For this week against Jacksonville, he does have a tough schedule coming forward. He's been doing great over the last several games. He's got Tampa Bay, then Chicago, then New Orleans to finish the season. But certainly both those guys are fine options. Let's go to tight end. Andrew, who are you looking at tight end here?
As of right now, I mean, the main names that pop up, I mean, I'm looking at Robert Tonyan. He's already owned in 60% of leagues. So is Mike Gesicki. But I think the only other options that aren't very much owned right now and have really good matchups this week is Kyle Rudolph against Jacksonville and Jordan Reed as a potential streamer against Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do we know how serious is Irv Smith's injury? And I guess we don't know about Adam Thielen, because my feelings on Rudolph change dramatically as to whether or not.
If Smith is out, it changes. Correct. Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. And that's why he went from like a tight end 20 or 21 last week all the way up to tight end. I don't remember where I set it on him, but he was borderline tight end one when all was said and done. So it's definitely very dependent on Irv Smith and him, whether or not he misses the game. Because if he's out, Jacksonville is a fantastic matchup for tight ends. It's one to attack. Jordan Reed's matchup is great. Of the production that the Bills have allowed to skill position players, tight ends have accounted for 20.8% of it, which is the second highest mark in the league. They've allowed 6 tight end receptions per game, which is the most in the NFL, while the 65 yards per game they're allowing is behind only the Bengals. So Jordan Reed, he actually should have had a bigger game this week, but Mullins missed him a couple times when he was open. That's the risk you run with starting someone like Jordan Reed. But by the way, if Jonnu Smith is dropped in your league, I would grab him and play him over all these guys this week, because I think a lot of people are going to drop him.
For sure.
You're stealing my dropper keep fringe roster bowl guy tagged with Jonnu Smith. You know what? We're going to punt the Jonnu Smith discussion because his name may come up in about 5 minutes. So we'll talk about that in a second. What about guys like Dalton Schultz? He gets Baltimore. Logan Thomas, you know, if it's a tight end waiver wire show, I have to talk about Logan Thomas. He does get Pittsburgh, unfortunately. So that's not something where you're really looking to go after. And Trey Burton, who, you know, again, you know, Mo Alie-Cox led the tight ends in snaps, but he does score a touchdown here. Any of those three guys, Andrew, that you'd be thinking about, or are you much more of a I go matchup by matchup with these tight ends?
Yeah, at this current moment in time, like guys like Trey Burton, he scares me. He got all of his production in the first half of the game. He had targets in the second half, but it didn't lead to anything. So that in itself gets me a little bit afraid of him. As for Logan Thomas, Pittsburgh, I think they give up the fewest points to opposing tight ends this season and a half PPR. They'll be able to lock them down and send a lot of pressure at Alex Smith. So that in itself, not too interesting in my eyes. Of course, if you're really struggling at the tight end position, perhaps you're a Gronk owner and he's going on bye week here in week 13. Maybe you can go ahead and stream one of these guys like Logan Thomas or Trey Burton. But as of this moment in time, I'd rather go after the matchup.
Tags, would you like to give your customary you don't need to pick up Logan Thomas remark, or do you just
don't? I mean, he's one of the least efficient tight ends in the NFL, and he's going up against the most efficient defense against tight ends in the NFL. Number one DVOA, all that. You really just don't want to start tight ends against Pittsburgh, especially when they're Logan Thomas.
That's fine. And I have not even recommended him as a pickup.
He's lying. Every week it's number one.
This is incorrect. This is the incorrect answer. But whatever.
Throwing him under the bus.
Let's get to our top five overall pickups then in order. Andrew, start us off. Top five, any position, how are you ordering them?
Yeah, so I'm thinking I'm going Devontae Booker number one. I'm probably sending, if in fact available, Debo number two. I'll take Jalen Reagor 3, Frank Gore at 4, And then number five, if in fact you have already made the playoffs, I'm going after an Alexander Mattison or locking down a Latavius Murray, somebody like that.
All right, Tags, go ahead.
Yeah, to be fair, if Deebo Samuel's number, he would be number one if he was still available.
Yes, but, I agree with that.
As for the guys that are under 40 are under 40% owned, I have Frank Gore number one, Devontae Booker two, Jalen Reagor number three, Brian Hill four, just because we really don't have clarity on this Todd Gurley injury. Which I'm probably too high on Brian Hill, to be fair.
They're too
playing
high on
the Saints, which I don't want to play him against the Saints if I can help it. So just forget what I said.
Brian Hill is my, I want this on record. Brian Hill is my 35th ranked free agent on the waiver wire.
I definitely wouldn't put him that low, but he's definitely lower than I probably should have him. But then it comes in Alexander Mattison, because again, these other guys are not guys that you want to start every single week. It's more like you're just stashing them. So Alexander Mattison comes in on that list. And then Cam Akers would be after him.
You know what, guys? Our lists are like, you know, as much as this is a gross waiver wire, we've got pretty much the same list going on. Yeah, Deebo, certainly, if he's available. But for me, I do have Devontae Booker number one. Then I have Cam Akers, Alexander Mattison, and Frank Gore. Legitimately, take your pick, really, of any of them. But that's the order.
You skipped over Logan Thomas at one.
Yeah, Logan Thomas actually is so high that he doesn't even get a number. He's number zero. You should already have him on every single one
true,
of your teams.
Yes.
Anyway, Tags, funny guy over there. Funny guy. Devontae Booker, Cam Akers, Alexander Mattison, Frank Gore, and number fifth is Jalen Reagor. So those are my top five. Let's go to QB and DST streamers. And again, I always say, let's talk QB streamers, and it's always just the same guys that we talked about. It's Fitz, right, against Cincinnati if he's available. And, of course, if Kirk Cousins is available, you go after him against Jacksonville.
Here's a question, Dan.
Yes.
If Derek Carr is dropped in your league, would you start him? Would you dare start him again this week against the Jets?
Yeah.
Over Fitzpatrick?
I don't know. That's probably around where he's going to be, I think. Like, that'll be a toss-up for me, I think, in my rankings. Because this is – and it comes a lot from sort of the betting side of things, Tags, and – this is sort of what I thought about with this game with the Raiders. It's, again, the spread just wasn't moving and it didn't seem right. And, you know, a team is never as good as it looks on its best day, except for the Chiefs, and never as bad as it looks on its worst day. And you could completely see Derek Carr coming out next week and throwing four touchdown passes
for
300 yards. I think, though, he'll probably be right there because I think Fitz is going to be a great option as well. Andrew, what about you between those two guys next week? What do you think?
Yeah, I think Derek Carr's performance yesterday and the Raiders' performance in general was historically bad. I don't know if I've ever seen a team fumble that many times in a singular game and let a game get out of hand that badly when it was so close in the first half. I'd 100% go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think from weeks 2 to 6, he was the number 6 overall quarterback in a 4-point per passing touchdown format. So again, we know that he's capable of putting up great performances. And in comparison to Derek Carr, a little shaky as of late, I'm trying to avoid it as of right now. Even though the matchup against the Jets is great, I'd rather just go with the security of Fitz.
Yeah, you know, I think really watching Fitz, I wasn't all that impressed yesterday. Like, for fantasy standpoint, fine. And he certainly is better for the offense than Tua. But I don't know. It wasn't a great Fitz day, I think, for me when I was watching him. I didn't love what I saw. But regardless, I think both those guys are going to be close. How about DST, though? Who's a widely available DST, Andrew, who you're looking at picking up for next week?
Okay, so as of right now, widely available. I mean, I'm looking at the Raiders that are only owned in 9% of leagues against the Jets.
Yeah,
that's a pretty nice one. I also see that the Seahawks, I know that probably teams have already picked them up for this week's matchup against Carson Wentz, but their upcoming schedule, they play against the Giants in week 13 and the Jets in week 14.
Yeah, they're definitely the one when people were saying, well, who do I pick up, you know, for, you know, who do I stash, to the extent there was a stash DST, it was always Seattle. But yeah, the Raiders for me, Tags, it's the team that goes against the Jets.
Yep, that's exactly what I had down here.
Wonderful. All right, all in on the Raiders next week. It's going to be fantastic. All right, let's go drop or keep, guys. You know the deal. 10 names. You can say drop. You can say keep. You can give me analysis. You could just say one word, whatever you want to do. Let's start. Number one, Andrew, drop or keep Darrell Henderson.
Oh, my goodness. You have to keep him.
Tags. I mean,
at this point.
Yeah, I'll keep him.
I will reluctantly keep him. But, again, this is also what I'm going to say. I'm getting to the point where I'm not going to feel comfortable starting Darrell Henderson ever. Like, I can't imagine where my situation is going to be.
Akers misses time.
Correct. You're going to need at least one of these other guys. Right. Tags, you can only drop Darrell Henderson to pick up Frank Gore and need a running back. Are you doing
Gore.
That? Are you going to drop Darrell Henderson in that situation?
I would, yes.
Okay. Tags, drop or keep Jamison Crowder?
Drop.
How about you, Andrew?
Yep, got him.
Drop is the correct answer. Andrew, drop or keep Jonnu Smith?
Oh, we're keeping him. 100%.
Tags.
Keep him for this matchup.
I would also keep him, but I will say that I'm not above dropping him. Like, if you have to drop him, you can drop him. But I would keep him personally. So it's not something where I will yell at you. Yates, definitely going to yell at you. Tags, drop or keep J.D. McKissick. Let's call it a standard league.
Drop.
How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, and at standard, you got to drop him at this point.
I'm good to drop. What about half PPR? Tags?
Depends on who you're dropping. I'd cut him for Frank Gore.
There it is. That the Frank Gore line is what we're dealing with right now. How about you, Andrew? Half PPR.
Half PPR, it depends if I own Gibson. If I own Gibson, I guess he can technically be a handcuff of sorts. But even then, he's shown, just this past week, Gibson had more receptions. He got more work in the passing. I think it was 7 targets. So McKissick is slowly getting kind of worked out of this offense.
Yeah, I'm going drop. Jacoby Myers, drop or keep, Andrew?
Jacoby Myers, at this point, I guess, yeah, I'd keep him.
Yeah, when you have to think about it, that's good. That's what you're supposed to do. How about you, Ted?
I don't know if I'm going to ever feel comfortable starting him. Cam Newton, dude.
Yeah.
Not great.
I'm going to drop. And again, this wasn't even a terrible game considering how little he threw and how much of that production Myers got. But still, I would drop just because, again, this is not an offense that I really want a piece of. Tags, drop or keep Zach Moss?
Keep.
How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, for sure keep.
I will keep as well, although I'm not all that happy about it. Andrew, drop or keep Jerry Jeudy?
Oh, man. I mean, if the quarterbacks want to return to us for the,
Denver Broncos. Let's assume going forward they have somebody who actually plays the quarterback position. By the way, kudos to Hinton. I just want to put that out there, okay? Because I know that there's been a lot of, jokes out there and a lot of stuff like that. Hinton, as I like to tease my son about, Hinton is better at being a professional football player than we will ever be at anything in our lives. So the fact that he took that on, his best out there against a tough defense, really just kudos to Hinton. That's all I want to say.
I just feel like you just put me down. That's all you're doing, Dan.
Yeah, you're right. With that said, he's certainly better than anything Tags has ever done or everything like that. Drop or keep Jerry Jeudy, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, I'm keeping Jerry Jeudy just based off his target counts in, the 4 weeks prior to this last one. He had, 14, 10, 8, 8. That's a great opportunity numbers.
How about you, Tags? I will as well. Tags, drop or keep Leonard Fournette?
Keep him.
Andrew?
Yeah, you have to keep him. Even though I heard Bruce Arians say and was quoted to say, Ronald Jones is going to get 20 touches or needs to get 20. I don't know. It's all coach speak.
Never trust. He cheats. He cheats.
If there's one thing we know, Bruce Arians does not lie about what we're going to see from Ronald Jones, not even 20 times.
Ronald Jones, to further go on my analogy about the cheating thing, Bruce Arians is the friend that takes out Ronald Jones to cheat on you.
I would like Tags, your next book, to be something related to somebody who gets cheated on with somebody else, involve a football player. I will buy 20 copies of that book for sure.
Oh, nice.
But I think you hold Leonard Fournette regardless for pure handcuff purposes at the very least.
Right.
Andrew, drop or keep Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
I'm dropping him.
Tags.
Drop it like it's hot.
I agree. Final one. Tags, drop or keep Mike Williams?
Keep.
How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, for sure. Keep. I think he almost had a touchdown, but it was a defensive pass interference call. So he almost had it this week.
Almost touchdowns do not count, but I agree with you. I agree. Well, I really should start keeping track of all almost touchdowns, but that is true. I agree. Keep Mike Williams. I know it was a little frustrating, but this was kind of a predictably bad game for him. All right. That is it for our Waiver Wire show. Andrew, I'm so glad we were finally able to have you on. Thank you for calling us illustrious. Remind everybody where they can find more of you and your work.
Yeah, again, thank you guys for having me on today. I make fantasy football content here on YouTube at the name Andrew Kurikoff. So just go check that out. Subscribe. I really appreciate you guys supporting, again, having me on today.
Yeah, Andrew's content is great. Really, go check him out. You won't regret it. Don't forget to check out our waiver wire assistant over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. It will give you help with all your waiver wire pickups. We will be back tomorrow with another episode talking about a little playoff schedules, rest of season outlooks, maybe a little dynasty talk, all the good stuff. Make sure to tune in. I will talk to you then.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.